My brothers and sisters, what is the cause of greatest pain to the heart of any mother? When does a mother suffer most grievously? A mother suffers most when she sees a child of hers suffering. There is no greater pain. What woman in the world, what mom, would not readily give her life, if she had to, in place of one of her children? Or even just if one of her kids is suffering, she wants to take that pain upon herself in order to alleviate her son or her daughter. And it's most painful when someone inflicts pain on their child or harms them in some way. About a year ago, I shared a story about my grandmother, my dad's mom. My grandparents have 10 kids. Their 7th child was a little girl whom they named Teresa, because they had converted to Catholicism through the writings of St. Therese of Lisieux, and so they wanted to name one of their girls after her. There is something special, something unique about every child. There was something extra special about Teresa, and all of her siblings said so. You know, people would come over and they'd say, gosh, where's Teresa? Right? They wanted to play with her. She was the joy of the family. Out of 10 kids, she was the only one with blue eyes. The 7th child, right? The number of perfection. When Teresa was 8 years old, her appendix burst. She died in my grandmother's arms on the way to the hospital. 10 years after that, one Saturday morning, my grandmother disappears for an entire morning, from 8 a.m. until about 1 p.m. My grandfather doesn't know where she is, and nothing like this had ever happened before, because when you have a lot of kids, especially on the weekends, you're in touch all day long, going from one event to another. She comes back at 1 o'clock, she doesn't say a single word, and he has the sense that he's not supposed to ask her. A few days later, a good family friend saw my grandfather out in public somewhere, walks up and says, Dave! Hey, where were you last weekend? Right, I saw Sally at Loretto's graduation. Why weren't you there? He said, well, we didn't have a daughter graduate this year. Yeah, we had one last year, and we'll have one next year. And all of a sudden, it hit him. It's the class that Teresa wouldn't have been in had she lived. My grandmother's still grieving the loss of her child 10 years later. I met with a married couple not too long ago. They weren't Christians. Actually, I'd never seen them before. I have not seen them since. Someone had referred them. They were going through a trial in their marriage. And I met with them individually, even though they had come together. And when I sat down with the woman, she said, the problem began. They had a little girl who died 4 days after delivery. And it was such a hardship for this woman, for the father also, but in a different way. And one day he came home from work about 3 months after the loss of their child, and he sees his wife teary-eyed, as she'd been almost every day those 3 months. And finally he said, you know what? The child's gone. Get over it. There is something that a father cannot even understand about the relationship between a mother and her child. A few years ago, my sister Kimberly was pregnant with twins. And a few months into the pregnancy, she lost one of them. And I'd never been really close to someone who had had a miscarriage, and I did not know the pain that that could entail. And it was so hard for her, but they thought, you know, I have the sense that it was a little girl. It was too early on in the pregnancy for the doctors to be certain. But she said, I think it was a girl. She talked to her husband. She said, let's name her, you know, so that this relationship will continue. We'll see her one day in heaven. And after praying about it, they decided to name her Anastasia. Anastasia in Greek means resurrection. Praying that their daughter would be in heaven, that she would pray that they would join her there one day. About 3 weeks later, they ran into a friend of theirs, and they were sharing the story, the loss of their child. And they told the person the child's name, Anastasia. And this friend said, oh my gosh, you know, Anastasia, Saint Anastasia used to be on the calendar, the Roman calendar. We would celebrate her each year. But I think that was before the Second Vatican Council. You might want to find out when that was so that you could remember her each year. They went and looked. The feast of St. Anastasia was the day they lost little Anastasia. And I remember it struck me so profoundly that she would have this sense of the sex of her child. And even to some degree a sense of her child's identity. Right? God had given that child a name from all eternity. They prayed about it and knew what it was. A relationship between a mother and a child begins in conception. From the earliest days of that child's life, that bond is formed. And my brothers and sisters, this is why there is perhaps no greater lie in our culture, no more deceptive, destructible, true lie than for someone to say that to be pro-abortion is to be pro-woman. There is nothing more anti-woman than abortion. Because what happens in an abortion? It is not any outsider inflicting harm on a mother's child. It is the mom inflicting harm on her own child, taking the life of her child. And the damage done by it is catastrophic. And why don't we ever hear of it? Because most women after that can never speak of it. It might be your best friend. It might be your sister. And you don't even know. They say, studies say, the percentage of women who have had an abortion is probably 1 in 4, maybe 1 in 3. And that's just not outside the confines of the Catholic Church, it's also within. I see this in confession sometimes. A woman often takes years before she can ever come to confession with that. And even when she comes to confession, some women, they can't even say what they've done. The priest has to say it because the pain is too great for them. And even after they've confessed, they'll bring it up again and again and again because they have the hardest time believing that God can forgive them for that. I've had the privilege a couple of times of going on Rachel's Vineyard retreats, which are post-abortion healing retreats. Incredibly powerful. On these retreats, it's amazing, almost every woman says the same thing. Ever since my abortion, I've struggled with depression. I've had an eating disorder. I've had self-loathing. On and on and on. And they'll say things like, I've thought of my child every day for the last 30 years. You know, sometimes I just wonder, would he have had his dad's nose? Would she have had her mother's eyes? If I could just hold her just one time. My brothers and sisters, what is the masterpiece of God's creation? If you go back to the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the plants, the animals, humanity, what was the height of His creation? It is the creation of woman. Sometimes people read the story of Genesis and they say, gosh, the woman came last, right? The sun, the moon, the stars, the man, the plants, the animals, and then the woman? As if she were an afterthought. It's not that she was God's last thought. It's that she was His first thought. She's not the end of creation. She is the culmination of creation. Because the mystery of woman most closely touches upon the mystery of God Himself. Because woman in creation is the source of life. And therefore she is the source of love. There is no more sacred place in the entire universe after the tabernacle than the womb of a woman. And therefore there is no place that Satan attacks more than the womb of a woman. Abortion, sterilization, artificial contraception, that is all from him. Because he hates life. And he wants to do anything he can that life is not brought forth into the world. Because he lives in eternal death. I one time had a lady, a parishioner here, and she shared this with me openly, publicly. She said, "Father, in the last few years, I've really grown in my faith and I've realized that I cannot have this IUD in me." Right? It is not in accord with the teachings of the church. You know, have you ever thought about artificial contraception? Why is it that almost every single one either has to be used by a woman or taken by a woman? Did you know that initially a pill was designed for a man to take? And that after quick study, the few men who took it, the results from taking it were not something they enjoyed. So it's women who use them all. She said, "So finally after 3 years, I had it removed." She said, "For the last 3 years, I've struggled with overeating, right? My weight. I've struggled with moodiness. I had that removed and it's all gone. Why didn't anybody tell me the effects that artificial contraception would have?" I close with this. St. Maximian Kolbe, who had a great love for our Blessed Mother Mary, he said when God created the angels, he wanted to see immediately whether or not they would be faithful to him. And so he revealed to them that one day his son would become incarnate, that one day his son would take flesh. And therefore all of the angels understood that his son would be born of a woman, and that therefore they would have to honor that woman as their queen. And a great number of the angels hailed this with great joy. And the other angels, led by Lucifer, said it was below their dignity to ever give honor to a woman. But they never forgot that woman, the vision of her. And an infernal hatred surged up in the fallen angels. And therefore, when God created Eve, Lucifer attacked. Because he saw the reflection of that woman in her. Every woman bears the reflection of Our Lady. Every woman has the potential to give life. Every woman is part of God's masterpiece. And we're called to protect it. And in our country, we are failing miserably. I heard a bishop say a few months back, he said, "You know why abortion is so rampant in our country?" He said, "It's because Catholics are divided on the issue. If Catholics were all on the same page, it is not possible that it could be so widespread." He said, "Could you imagine if a candidate, as part of his platform, supported slavery?" He said, "Absolutely no." And they say, "Gosh, I would never vote for him. I don't care what else he says, he's in support of slavery. That's crazy." He said, "And yet abortion is so much worse. And so many Catholics have no problem supporting someone who supports abortion. And therefore, the evil continues in our society." My brothers and sisters, may we seek to bring an end to the greatest tragedy our country has ever experienced.